Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
The Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. I'm Ian Stevens, joined by Ryan Davis. As today's show, we can expect to see Mrs. Hagerman coming up later on to kind of talk about boys and girls cross country, how their season's going, and what to look forward to with them. And then Coach Richmond will be joining us later in the show. But kicking off for segment number one, just going to kind of take a recap of what we saw this week in Arabian Athletics, and in particular, that game last night against Greenfield.
Tough loss for the Arabians, which is just, I feel like, just poor defense, like missed tackles, missed big plays.
And definitely the 35-0 shutout on Greenfield's side. So starting early, a couple of offensive spots where they failed to connect on a couple of drives. And then Greenfield, they run that wishbone offense. So it's definitely for the defense, it's a very tough, challenging defense to be able to try to defend their offense. They have like the quarterback, and then about 3 yards back, they have that kind of triangle option where they can go multiple ways with it. And for a defense, it's very hard to read. So how do you feel like they defended overall against that wishbone offense?
Overall, I feel like, I mean, it's hard to figure out who has the ball when they fake to one guy and go to the other. It's, I mean, as I said last night, it was basically a guessing game. I feel like they're catching on to it in the second half, but missed tackles were big. A big key, I feel like, in the game.
I'm just kind of looking at some of the stats from last night that really catching my eye is just the amount of first downs between the teams. Greenfield, they had 26 first downs, and the Arabians, they only had 8. And that just shows the Arabians, a couple plays throughout the game, they were periodically moving the ball down the field. But Greenfield, they would hit that wishbone, they'd find the right guy that the defense wouldn't pick up, and then they'd get a handful of yards. And just 26 first downs compared to 8. That's a big difference.
Yeah, that wishbone was a struggle for the Arabians. They just couldn't figure out how to stop it.
And then offensively, the Arabians were held to under 100 yards in the rush game, caught up at 85. And then Greenfield on the flip side had 345. So you just take a look at those numbers, and not exactly where the Arabians would like to be. They strive for much more than the 85. They're shooting for 200-plus yards a game, rushing as well as passing, and just overall offense production. So what do you feel like in a game like this? The Arabians, you know, not what they wanted on the score, but what can they build off of?
They can build this off of motivation. They go in then for next week, dominant New Pal, fourth in the state 4A. I feel like they need to work on blocking for the running game, giving them a hole to get through, and making sure they get yardage out of it.
And then for Isaac Wilson last night, that was his first full start of the season. He started back in week one, but went out with an injury about midway through the second quarter. But a little banged up throughout the game, getting hit a couple of times. But overall, how do you feel like he did reading the offense, as he also had a couple big plays to pick up yards on the run game?
He was reading the offense really well. It looked like he was a little bit more comfortable throwing the ball. I mean, he was throwing it a little bit further than he was, getting a little bit more aggressive. And then for the run game, quarterback keeper, the fake handoff has been working well for the Arabians.
Just looking at the pass game for the Arabians, they had 9 passes for 76 yards. So that number right there, it's not great, but it's not awful. And just the plays they were connecting offensively, it was very productive plays, picking up first downs, or really setting them up with good field position.
Yeah, I mean, Nate Duralf had that wide-open catch in zone coverage in the second quarter, and then, drop passes were a big thing for the Arabians wide receivers.
And then just taking a look last night, on fourth down conversions, the Arabians went 0-for-4, and then Greenfield on the flip side, 3-of-4 on their opportunities. So a couple of times just trying to keep that offense out there, getting that little extra push, fell up a bit short, and a couple of drives. But what do you feel like the difference maker in that game was compared to maybe, say, last week?
I think the change of mentality from because we the Ravens scored first against Newcastle. I feel like what Coach Richmond teaches is you got to come out swinging hard and fast. You want to be the first one to score, and you know, that's a big motivation booster. And I feel like the Ravens just lost the motivation after the first two scores.
And then you just take a look at the special teams. For instance, Justin Beeler arguably saw some of the most action on there, just punting the ball, I guess, offensively. But what did you see out of some of his punts? He's been having a tremendous season, really been a dangerous weapon for the Arabians and their ability to switch the field.
Yeah, the Arabian special teams does not get enough credit. They've been playing really well this year. Clint Miller and Justin Beeler both are playing really good.
Just taking a look at some of the Greenfield stats real quick, is Braden Harrell, he was one of the players back in that wishbone option. He had 6 carries for 132 yards, averaging about 8.3 yards a carry. So 8 yards a carry is almost a first down. So it's just definitely something you really have to watch for.
Yeah, for that wishbone offense, you fake handoff to one guy, that guy goes to block the defense, and it's just they've been getting so much yardage out of it. It's just, I mean, Mount Vernon had a little struggle sometimes with it.
And that was, we just take a look at the passing game for Greenfield. They threw 12 times and only completed 5 of their passes. So overall, defensively, the Arabians did a very good job controlling the pass game. As although Greenfield is primarily a run team, that's how their offense is designed and set up. But to be able to defend, go from attacking a run game to defending a pass, that's got to give some credit to the defense.
Yeah, the Arabian secondary has really played well. They were, 5 for 12. They were really stopping it right when, if they did catch the ball, they were right there. They didn't get any yardage after the catch.
And there in that second quarter, going just right before halftime, Greenfield was able to put together a drive and a touchdown that was questionable to many right there at the goal line, but they put it in for 6. The officials called it. Then they missed a field goal earlier on, so they were trying to go for the 2-point conversion. And then the Arabian defense back in Nolan Saunders in the corners did a great job deflecting that ball down to holding them just to 6 points on that one play.
Yeah, Nolan Saunders played a really good game. He had the interception on the first drive. I mean, he was no one. I don't think anyone who he was defending got the ball.
As Greenfield, they scored through the first 3 quarters of the ball game, but the Arabian defense, after a rough game, not really going their way for much of the ball game at all, they really stepped up there in that fourth quarter alone just to kind of silence and not allow any more points.
Yeah, the Arabians, I feel like, caught on to the wishbone. They were really starting to stuff the hole up, and I mean, Siddiqui started to come out.
And with that being said, that's the end of segment number 1. But when we come back, Ryan Davis was able to catch up with Coach Hagerman earlier this week to take a look at Arabian cross country. But you're listening to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM. Located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Are you ready?
Let's go. Turn it up.
Have you ever wanted to listen to 91.7 WEEM on your phone but don't have internet connection?
Try out our new app. It's called 91.7 WEEM.
ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, this is the ASN Coaches Show. I am with Miss Hagerman, the cross-country coach. So this is your first year as both boys and the girls cross-country coach. How's it going?
So far, so good. I love it. The boys have just absolutely responded well to the training, and it's nice to have them with the girls to help push them. And it's been a lot of fun. They've added a new element to the program, so it's fun to have them together, and they can cheer for each other. They know each other's names, so it's been a good experience so far.
So you guys had a great start to your season at Taylor University for the County Clash. How did that go?
That was good. That's a great meet for us to start off at. And we just found out yesterday that Taylor University is actually hosting our regional. So now we have experience running on our regional course. So that worked out real well. It's a good opportunity too. There wasn't a JV race, so everybody ran together. Boys had a race, girls had a race. So then I really got to see kind of the separation between my varsity and JV. So that was good.
So as always, you guys hosted the Arabian Roundup at home last month, one of the largest meets in your state, actually. So what's special about that meet?
The Arabian Roundup draws a lot of smaller schools in, and it kind of gives them a baseline of where they're at. It's also one of the few weekday meets that we have as far as invitational goes. Those have kind of gone by the wayside a little bit, and most invitationals are on Saturday, so it gives you a middle of the week experience of running. But it's really nice because having it on our home course and having a lot of spectators, a lot of people in the community come out, look forward to it. I have a lot of former runners that come out to support. So it's just nice. One of the few times that we get to run in front of our home crowd.
So who are your top runners for the girls team this year?
We've got Ava Jarrell, who came off of a really strong track season. She made it to state in the 800. She's doing a great job. Hadley Walker, she is a sophomore. Ava's a sophomore as well. Hadley's doing a really good job, and she came off of a great track season too. J.C. Thurman, those three have been running pretty solid. J.C.'s a junior. And then we've got some returning runners. We've got Abby Davidson, Olivia Wellpott, and Julianne Spajewski. Sorry, that's a lot of syllables there. But yeah, they're pretty solid 1 through 7.
So switching over to the boys, what are your top runners for the boys this season?
That just recently has changed. Andrew Blake, our senior, has kind of taken the lead there. He's improved his times every meet so far. So he's done a great job. Will Coggins, he's a junior. And him and Andrew can pretty much go back and forth, but Will's pretty solid as well. And then we have senior Jason Liss, who again is doing a great job. Freshman Benson Davis has come in and he's doing a nice job. So we're pretty solid 1 through 4, and then 5 through 7 could be anybody's day. So
cross country is definitely a challenging sport in many ways. How do you mentally prepare yourself for that endurance of the race?
Hard practices. So it's nice when you have a team to run with, and it's nice when you have people to push you. And, you know, our practices are pretty tough. And not only are they physically challenged, but they challenge you mentally, because it is easy to just kind of give up during a race because it's hard. And then just practicing that way of pushing through the pain and yeah, it's a lot of mental. We do a lot of talking after practice on things we could do better. And of course the team is good about picking each other up, and I've got great senior leadership, great captains that help with that as well.
So how do you guys train throughout the week at practices?
That's top secret. I can't tell you that on the radio. Everybody will steal our plan. No, I'm kidding. We usually have a long run. I don't want to tell you that. It'd scare other runners off if they're thinking about cross country. But we build up to it. Like through the summer, we build our mileage up. We usually have a long run at the beginning of the week. We do some interval training, different types of training. We have some easy recovery days. We do a lot of non-running things too, that like to build our core and our upper body, and stretching, of course. But yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell what we do.
So why did you decide to become a cross-country coach?
I ran cross-country and track when I was in high school. And my coach, it was Coach Souders. I think his grandkids go here to school. But yeah, it was just an important part of my life. Like, it got me through high school. I maybe shouldn't share this, but school wasn't my favorite thing to do in the world, but cross-country practice was. So it kind of helped me. I come from a family of runners, and my son ran. And I just knew I wanted to be a coach, and coaching cross country is one of my favorite things to do.
So how can younger kids start getting into cross country and maybe even play it at a high school level?
We have a solid middle school program. I would definitely get involved then, but even earlier, there's tons of like road races, fun races. There's mile races around. We haven't done a camp for a little while just because of COVID stuff, but looking for opportunities where you could get involved with family and just do like a 5K race as a family, that would be great.
So what are your guys' goals for going in, like ending the season and going into the next season?
We started off the summer talking about goals, individual goals and team goals. And of course, I have several individuals that have some goals that they want to attain. But as a team, on the boys' side, the conference is it's pretty tough. Mount Vernon is outstanding this year. I hate to give them credit, but they're running really solid. And so, of course, the boys are looking to compete with them. Greenfield's really solid on the boys' side, too. The boys did not make it to semi-state last year. They had two individuals, Andrew and then graduate Avery Carpenter, made it to semi-state. So we're hoping to get back as a team again to semi-state. And if I'm being completely honest, we've kind of got our eyes set on state too. I mean, there's that outside shot. The way we're improving right now, I think that, you know, we've got to have that in our sight too, to make it to state. If not as a team, as an individual. So yeah, that's kind of where we're looking there. On the girls' side, they made it to semi-state last year as a team, and I think that we could definitely repeat that again. Individually, I know Ava's got her sights set on state as an individual if the team wouldn't make it out. But last year, it's still fresh on my mind, but we got second in conference on the girls' side. We were 1 point behind Mount Vernon, and that still stings a lot. You know, we're looking at, again, Mount Vernon being our biggest competition at conference. And so, you know, I always tell the kids anything can happen and you go out and run the race just like everyone else does. So, you know, I'd like for the girls to get that conference title. So we have county coming up too. This year, our county is very down as far as teams go. We have some individuals that are outstanding on the boys' side. On the girls' side, we should be okay there, but the county, I don't know that any of the other county schools have a complete team on the girls' side. On the boys' side, I think we have LaPel and maybe Frankton, but so definitely we want to take a sweep there and win both county titles. So
that'll do it for this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. Thank you, Ms. Hagerman.
Thank you.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, skincare, and spa services on Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style, 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, 765-400-5323 or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Investing in education-based athletics builds strong communities and a strong, successful Indiana.
That's because when we support education-based athletics, we're not only supporting Hoosier student-athletes, we're championing the next generation of doctors, CEOs, and engineers, not to mention future teachers, first responders, and civil servants. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Chris Kaufman. We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
High school sports are the training ground for our future community leaders, impact makers, and world changers.
When we invest in student athletes, we're teaching them the importance of serving others selflessly,
leading them to become engaged, compassionate citizens who pay it forward and continue building a positive future for Indiana and beyond.
Support the next generation of Hoosier difference makers by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is serving our community. This is strengthening our future. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
Welcome Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. But joining us now is Coach Richmond, as we're going to talk about what happened last night with Greenfield. And this first one, we're going to really highlight in the offense. So last night, the offense, they didn't score, but they moved the ball periodically throughout the game. What did you see from your offense?
Well, not much. You used the word highlight, and it just stuck in my mind that I didn't. I'm not thinking of anything coming to my mind right now. And guys played hard. Like, our efforts there, you know. And I joke about this, but washing machines work hard too, and sometimes they don't get the dirt out, man. You got to wash it again. And it, that sounds silly, but my goodness. Our problems are between the ears, you know. And until we decide that individually we're going to be better, it's going to be tough to put a cohesive, consistent group out there. And we're going to find it, because I know you guys are determined and I know we're determined. So, you know, I thought Isaac showed a lot of guts running the ball. You know, he can read a little bit better. And there's some times where we make it harder on ourselves than it needs to be. And the back's got to help him, and the line's got to help him. And receivers, you know, they got to be ready all the time. So I'm pretty discouraged this morning. So I'm going to try to practice what I preach and suck it up for you. You know what I mean? But I am I'm very frustrated that we've had 30 practices in season and we're still doing some things inconsistently that that you guys take a lot of pride in throughout the week. And then when we get in the game, we revert to what is most comfortable and easiest. So it's unfortunate, but that's why we're coaches, and that's why you guys are tough, and you keep coming back to practice.
And as you're talking about Isaac Wilson carrying the ball a couple of times last night, what do you see from him and his drive to pick up the extra yard?
Well, he's trying to make a play. I mean, Isaac's always been a gamer. I mean, I've known him for 7 years, and he's always been a gamer. And the thing with quarterback, it's not just about being a gamer. You can't be a quarterback some of the time. You got to be that guy all the time. You got to own every piece of being a quarterback. And that doesn't mean you're perfect by any means. I mean, it's a hard position. I mean, there's 5,000 people there last night, and everybody knew who the quarterback was. You know what I mean? There's one starting quarterback in a school of 1,500 kids. Like, there's a lot of pride that comes with that. There's a lot of ownership that comes with that. And I think as a team, but quarterback has to exemplify this. When I say trust the process, it's funny. People throw that back in my face. And so, you know, Greenfield has that on their shirts now. Not that I created it by any means, but I will tell you, they're trusting their process. And I think the point to take away from that is we are results thinking too much in society. We're results thinking as individuals. We worry about what could happen or what will happen, or, you know, if I do this, then I get that. It's a process that you have to think through to clear your mind to execute the job at hand. I mean, in every great profession, that's going to happen. We've got to be disciplined to do that. And I think sometimes it takes some maturing and some open-mindedness to comprehend that. And it's not just at quarterback where you've got a pre-snap read and a post-snap read, and you have to know where all the pieces are and where the protection's going. And all. It's not that. It's the right guard. You know that. I mean, it's the right guard. You got to ID the front. Then you have a rule based off of that. And then you have fundamentals and aiming points. And that's what we practice over and over. And that's what's so frustrating, is we're so fixated on results right now, in my opinion, instead of our process mindedness. And if we can just own that, things are going to get better. If we can't, then we're going to continue to be frustrated.
So a couple nice pass plays to pick up first downs. What mm-hmm. were some things that the receivers did well?
No question. We made plays at times, right? I mean, Nate DeRolf had a big catch down the middle of the field. Reese had a big bench route from number two receiver. You know, we're moving the chains, and then we mess up the snap. You know, we mess up the snap on a critical third and short. The very next play, we put in everybody's saying punt the ball, play defense. I had the play dialed up. I knew the kids would execute it. Man, we ran it and just overthrew it a little bit. or maybe our route was off a little bit. Whatever way you look at it, the offense was off and inconsistent, right? So we take two steps forward and three steps backwards. You know, I mean, it's frustrating. But I thought guys played hard. I mean, they nobody tapped out there. You know, I thought Rylan Kiesling came in and did a really good job. I mean, it's the first time I've played a freshman on offense or defense in pivotal minutes. And, man, he was ready to go. And he stepped right in there, and he gave us a chance. I was really proud of him, man. I mean, stepping in that game and that physicality. And he's got some things to correct, but his effort and attitude were tremendous. And he's a guy we can depend on. That was for sure. He made that apparent last night, so.
So you did not have one offensive penalty last night. What does that show about the discipline in the team?
That's a positive, right? I mean, so we didn't have a procedural penalty. There are some teams that would tell you that shows lack of aggressiveness. Maybe, I don't know. It's whatever you think, but that was a positive. There's no question. Have we cleaned that up? Did they let us play? We got to make some plays within there, even though we're not hurting ourselves. We got to go take some things away from teams like Greenfield, or, you know, it's going to be a long season.
So then last time, although not the results you guys wanted, what are some things you want to see your team build off of and learn from that experience?
Well, I mean, they went into an intense atmosphere. I mean, whole town was there. I thought Greenfield was really physical. They played definitely with great energy. We responded at times, right? So it's the consistency of doing it over and over and over and doing it when it's really hard, you know? I mean, before the game, we challenged the team, you know, when it gets hard, don't wish it away, go through it, right? Don't pray it away. You know, don't just pray for things to get easier. Pray to get through it. You know, I mean, that's got to be a mindset. And I think that's something that we are built for. And sometimes we put limits on ourselves as adults and kids. I mean, we got a great group of kids in this locker room. And sometimes it's easier, you know, to blame a ref for not getting a pass interference. It's easier that the sun was in our eyes. It's easier that... Man, that kid's a really good player. He's a state qualifying wrestler. Oh, that kid's this week it's going to be, oh, that kid's got an offer from Louisville. That kid's got – it doesn't matter. I mean, they're very good. Every team we play from here on out is really good. I mean, they're going to get better. Shelbyville's going to be really good week 9. They beat Newcastle last night. They're coming. Like, there's nowhere to hide. That's the whole point of what I told the team last night. Like, you've got to focus on where you're at. You can't wish it away. We're where we're at. We're in the best 4A conference in the state, and we're a solid group. We got to go do what we're supposed to do. And if we do that, our scheme's built to compete. Our players have built themselves to compete. And, you know, I know that's a long answer, but I will tell you, I've never been more motivated and inspired to get better and to move on and to build on what wasn't last night, that's for sure.
So coming up next, we're going to talk about the Arabian defense last night here on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh. Hold on, just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. As we now take a look at the defensive side of the ball, So after your 35-0 loss to Greenfield last night, what did you see out of the defense last night and a couple things they can build on and grow on?
Well, there's no question that we take the ball away, you know. And it's something that we've emphasized. You know, I think Coach Huth, the defensive coaches deserve a lot of credit for that. The players, we've really put an emphasis on that this year. And so far, we've done it. You know, I mean, we threw a pick last night on offense. I believe we had three takeaways last night on defense. They gave us a chance in that first half. You know, I mean, you think about it, they scored early, then they didn't score again until the last play of the half, right? I mean, so, and we want to complain about was the guy in, was the guy not in. He was in, but here's the reality. He didn't have to get in. And, you know, I thought some guys played with a lot of guts. I thought we pursued. I mean, you know, I really, our middle school teams, I've talked about them at times, and the mindset of our program, right? We want to develop kids, and we want to teach them to be competitive, and we got to build them into the players that we expect to have, right? And, you know, our middle school, our eighth grade, got beat by Greenfield in a similar fashion, okay? And in this case, effort is not the problem. Our guys played hard last night. They played better than us. They executed better. They reacted in situations better. And I don't know where in there I'm just digging into it. The coaches are fixing it, but all of it's fixable because our effort's there. Our heart and our desire and our attitudes are there. We need to do what we're supposed to do, and it's not the scheme either. It's not, you know, I was talking to Isaac last night about offense on the sideline. Like, we're, you know, it's the end of the game. Defense is out there fighting and clawing and scratching. I'm like, we get the ball back. This is what we need to be doing. But we need to be thinking this way as we move forward. We're going to get better at these things. And other kids were overhearing us. And there's no moral victories. I'm disgusted by losing like we did last night. I'm frustrated. I always want our community to be proud of our program. And, you know, the wins and losses are what you see. And I don't – there is no moral victories for us. Like, it's about going out and competing and giving our all. And we gave our all when it comes down to maybe hustling, right? And that's where the silly washer example was, right? But, my goodness, how many lessons are we going to have to learn on all three phases until we trust one another and trust the coaching and – build this into the way it needs to be, and that's really where the challenge is right now. So the things we can own are our effort and our takeaways and the intensity. But then on the flip side of that, we got to clean it up. You know, I mean, where was the team last week, this week? You know what I mean? Effort was the same, I would say, defensively, but just because we're not pass rushing doesn't mean we can't channel that right into the dive. You know what I mean? Or taking on those big tight ends. I know that's hard, but it's a team of guys out there. So, you know, it's one of those things that we've got the consistency of our execution has got to be cleaned up on both sides of the ball. So,
then with that, that's going to be the only big wishbone offense you'll see them till possibly sectional time, yeah, when you could see them again. So how can your team lay that to rest and focus on what lies ahead in your schedule?
Well, I think the misconception, you know, and you're a smart guy with this because you're coached and you love football. And I would tell you the wishbone is just a formation. But the attitude of their dive is no different than the attitude of New Pal's dive. And the funny thing is, which isn't real funny, is it's like we don't connect it with our own plays. You know, 2 years ago, we thumped them, and we simulated their offense really well. And we simulated it because we run an option-based offense. And, you know, I thought this week we did a pretty good job of that, but we got young guys that didn't own it, you know. I thought Ben Mosby owned it. He did a heck of a job all week. And Nico White, and there's some other guys rotating in. I mean, Preston Wolf at quarterback, Keaton Jones came in, really gave us a good look in the offensive backfield. But was the dive, did it really simulate, you know, what we're going to see? We're going to see Grayson Thomas this week. He's a stud tailback. We're going to see a bigger line this week. What are we going to do this week to change our run defense? Because they're going to run the ball. No one runs it as well. I mean, we could say maybe Greenfield has better stats. I don't even know at this point. But nobody traditionally has ran the ball as well as New Pal. And they run a similar scheme to us, you know? So does that make it easier? Or did we talk ourselves out of it? Were we thinking results? Well, we just got to get through this wishbone. Ugh, double tight wishbone. Here we go. You know what I mean? If that's our mindset in the middle school, too, we're in trouble because we're teaching the wrong. We gotta want to play this. You know, we got to want to do it. Our program is built to run the football and stop the run. That's the backbone of our program. And so far, we're not doing it. At least in the last week, we didn't do it very well. So that's what I want everybody to hear. I love the guys that are coming in the middle school. Our freshman group, JV group. Like, we've got things coming, but we've got to own this type of mentality so that we don't have to keep reliving it. Because Greenfield ain't changing. They're going to keep doing this and doing this and doing this. But guess what? New Pal's going to run the ball. Mount Vernon's going to run the ball. Delta's going to run the ball. Yorktown's going to run the ball. Shelbyville. And then we go right back through them in the tournament. So we don't really have a choice. Get better. Learn from it and go. You know, I mean, I know it's a long answer and I'm long-winded a little bit for you, Ian, but this is something that is, everybody's got to have their piece of this, and it'll start with me. I'm going to coach better.
So how can the Ravens defense use last night's loss as motivation for the next home game and games after
that? I mean, anybody has a pulse that's competitive. I mean, we 5,000 people there last night watched us, you know, get beat 35-0. I mean, you know, I used the word embarrassment early in the season because there was some effort things. There was a mental problem. Last night we had some mental issues at times, but it wasn't effort-based, in my opinion. We allowed some situations to get the better of us, right? So the motivation is to be tougher mentally, in my opinion. The motivation is to do what you're supposed to do Monday through Thursday, you know, a little bit better. It's to make sure you do some things this weekend to prepare yourself a little bit better, you know. I thought we had one of the best Labor Day practices we've had since I've been here, and that's a testament to the seniors. But who's the leader right now? Who's leading this team? That's a challenge because I'm, you know what I mean? Who's the guy? Who's the guy? You know, I felt like last year's group, and I'll say this, people didn't want to let Luke Candiano down, right? But they feared Jake Ergot a little bit because he was going to hold him accountable. What's that look like in our locker room right now? Do we have a true trust between sophomores, juniors, and seniors? You know, is there a true bond? Because we've come a long way since early June, you know? And I think we've got a great locker room. I think we've got a great group of kids. And so I guess the motivation in here is, are we going to fight or flight? You know, are you going to stand up and go through, or are you going to tap out and be nervous about competition and being coachable and that sort of thing? I mean, that's really the challenge this week because we're all going to get better. I mean, the coach has been challenged already. You know, I mean, that's what people don't understand. These guys been in here for hours now, and they've been in here with me, and they've been getting critiqued by me, and these guys are as good teachers and coaches as I've been around, and they work their butts off. I mean, last week, I talked about them, right? They're the same guys. They're the same guys. We prepared the same way. So what happened, right? What happened in here? Well, we got to do a little bit better because I thought our practices were pretty solid this week. So we're all going to do this together, and we all got to continue to trust and focus on the process of it, not so much the results. And that's not a moral victory-like kind of mentality. I'm saying the results end up happening because of everything you do. New Pal talks about winning the day every day. We talk about trusting the process. We're saying the same thing, just in a different way.
But when we come back, we'll take a look ahead at what New Pal has to offer next week on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Hey, Dr. Elsperman. I believe one of the best ways to invest in a community is to encourage participation in high school sports.
I agree, Paul. High school sports can play a tremendous role in student athletes obtaining their first degree in life, a high school diploma. Ivy Tech Community College also plays a role by serving more than 70,000 Indiana high school students who are earning college credit while finishing high school.
High school athletics are all about setting students up for success in the classroom and in life, and that's especially important. Considering less than 7% of student athletes play sports in college, and even fewer receive scholarships.
At Ivy Tech, thousands of high school students complete their freshman year of college or first industry credential, giving them a head start on college and careers.
We appreciate the support of partners like Ivy Tech who invest in our student athletes, their education, and our communities.
This is championing education. This is investing in your community. This is your IHSAA.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM as we now take a look at what lies ahead next week for Arabian football. So next Friday, you're going to be back on your home field facing off with the New Pound Dragons. So how are you guys going to be able to prepare to face off with this caliber of a team?
Well, it doesn't matter who we're playing. I said it to you guys last night. I mean, we got to fix us first. And I know once in a while Coach Ralph will dial in and listen to this, as I would probably if he had a radio show. I think Coach and I have a common mutual respect. And, I mean, they're a championship program, right? But it's one of those things. They do a great job. They do a great job of showing up and doing the things I'm talking about. That's why I respect them so much. They don't just play with great effort. They play with great detail. And, why else do you want to play unless you play some of the best teams in the state? You know what I mean? And these guys, 6A to 1A, it doesn't matter. This is one of the best programs in Indiana. And Coach Ralph deserves a lot of credit for that. And I'm looking forward to it. And I they always bring an awesome crowd. It's an old rivalry here. You know, it's been around before us. And there's something special about that. And, my challenge is we owe it to our community. We owe it to the rivalry to play our butts off. And, at the end of the day, this game, we're going to find out what our team's about here real quick. And I know what we're about, but it's not like today's an aha moment. You know what I mean? Like, we're needing to look at ourselves and focus on cleaning some things up so that we can compete. You know what I mean? These guys, I don't want to simplify what they do, but they do the normal things, the common things, very uncommon. That's why they're so good. They have some schematic things that they are challenging on, and we've got to be ready for, but I'm not simplifying what they do by any stretch. I mean, I think that's a respectful thing to say about anybody. You know, when people tell us we're not real diverse or we don't really do a lot, that doesn't offend me, because that's what we should be really, really good at, you know. And they're really good in the weight room. I would give NewPal credit for elevating this entire conference. You know, when I got here 7 years ago, it was solid in the top half. Now it's solid all the way through. And they raised the stakes. You know, they got people's attention that football is, it's important. And this has always been a solid conference, but my goodness, in the time you guys have played, it's gotten better and better and better, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. So,
and one player you were speaking on earlier was their running back, and Grayson Thomas has a little over 500 yards on the ground this season. And we're talking about stopping the drive or the dive this week. Yeah. So what's it going to take to really limit and contain him inside?
Well, you know, I mean, we saw it. You know, they have – Greenfield's got a really good back in number two. His name's escaping me right now, but five broke some tackles as well, Zellers. But number two last night, he runs with his knees high, forward lean, off tackle. I mean, that's what Grayson – he's going to run inside, he's going to run outside. And he gets his knees high. I mean, he's a good-looking dude. He's a great weight room guy. And we've got to be better tacklers, you know. But he doesn't give you targets to hit. That's what makes him so challenging. And then he's fast and he's resilient and he gets stronger as the game goes. So for us, we got to be better tacklers. You know, there are multiple times last night where we came up and we really did. We put our shoulders right on the guys and they didn't go down because they're good backs. It's what good backs do. And we got to wrap. And we did do that in many other cases, you know. So our backs need to look at some of what they've seen the last 2 weeks, and they need to look at how to run the football too. You know, I mean, and that's a challenge to us. And I coach the running back, so I take that pretty personal. And we got the right guys. We need to run with a little more energy. We need to carry our fakes out a little bit better, and things like that. You know, I mean, it's all the way around. I mean, it really is a simple game, and I think that's where NewPal does such a great job. They make the simple, and they turn it into really, really good. So
what are you planning to focus on in practice in the upcoming week to play NewPal?
Well, we'll have a list, that's for sure. I mean, every position fundamentally was lacking in some way, shape, or form. But we need to, it's not about memorizing plays and or where I go on this fit. It's about reading and reacting. We need to be football players, not robots. And sometimes we're so focused on what we're supposed to do because of those results that I was talking about. You know, is coach going to pull me if I don't do this? Am I going to get benched if I don't do this? Am I going to start if I don't grade well? How about we just play football and we read and react like you're capable of, and then good things will come from that, you know? With a team like NewPal, the windows are smaller because they're so dang fast and they're so good. So the holes close quicker. I mean, both in the secondary in the pass game and then up front in their front six. On defense, same thing. The backs are through just a little bit quicker. It's going to hit just a little bit different. We can't blink. So we got to read, and then we got to react. And we have to know what our keys are. We have to be disciplined on that. And we can't just do it when we're comfortable. And we've got to have some consistency. So long answer, but we got a long week of practice ahead of us. And it comes back down to the basic things. And, you know, what they do is really insignificant to how we will prepare against it. You know what I mean? We've got to make sure we know what we're doing and play really, really fast and physical to have a chance to compete against these guys.
So, as of now, NewPal is fourth in the state. How do you prepare your players mentally throughout, without a doubt, toughest games in your...
Well, you know, I look at this. I got two young boys, and I haven't figured parenting out yet. Maybe I should talk to your parents. They've done a good job. You two guys are awesome. But I'll tell you this. When my sons are your age, if I'm worried about how they're living, then I didn't do my job. So when I look at NewPal, here's your parallel. When I look at NewPal, if I'm worried about how to mentally be ready for them today, that was in January. And that's the magic that Coach Ralph does down there. Those guys don't worry about anybody else. They focus on them, and they're the best team in the state. And that doesn't intimidate me. Shouldn't intimidate our guys, okay? It's an awesome opportunity to play against a really good team. We're going to get better Friday, win or lose. And at the same time, we've got to get better anyway because of how bad we were last night. You know what I mean? So to your question, mentally, how do we get ready? If I'm worried about it today, I should have been worried about it a long time ago. So nothing changes. Again, process versus results thinking. If we're focused in January about the day-to-day, you know, the same things Ian did back in April are the same things he's doing today. If he can't get him corrected today, then we're in trouble. You know what I mean? But here's the beauty. We can correct everything from last night. For whatever reason, we decided to do what maybe was a little easier or what we thought because we were worried about those results or what could happen or whatever the case may be. You know, we're human beings, you know? I mean, I had a couple plays I wish I could have. I mean, I had to burn a timeout because I called a formation wrong. That's on me. I'm not perfect, but we've all got to step up and do just a little bit better at what we need to do. And mentally, it is, to your question, it is important. So if we listen to everybody instead of having those earmuffs and blinders on, if we're worried about what they're ranked, I mean, rankings don't mean anything anyway. It's all about the tournament. Everybody gets in, right? It's not like college football where it's so important, you know? I mean, we got to stay focused on right now. And, you know, program-wise, I go back to our middle school. They need to be ready to compete. And I know the coaches are working at it. Coach Cloud, Coach Daniil doing an awesome job. We're getting better. And that's something where I keep coming back to it. We're developing a program and a mindset that takes time, and we got to be committed to it.
And with that being said, that's the end of it. Coach, as always, thank you for joining us. But when we come back, senior defensive lineman Tucker Barnes will be on the show with us talking about Arabian football and what took place last night here on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Elsperman. I believe one of the best ways to invest in a community is to encourage participation in high school sports.
I agree, Paul. High school sports can play a tremendous role in student-athletes obtaining their first degree in life, a high school diploma. Ivy Tech Community College also plays a role by serving more than 70,000 Indiana high school students who are earning college credit while finishing high school.
High school athletics are all about setting students up for success in the classroom and in life, and that's especially important. Considering less than 7% of student athletes play sports in college, and even fewer receive scholarships.
At Ivy Tech, thousands of high school students complete their freshman year of college or first industry credential, giving them a head start on college and careers.
We appreciate the support of partners like Ivy Tech who invest in our student athletes, their education, and our communities.
This is championing education. This is investing in your community. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. And joining us now is defensive lineman Tucker Barnes. Tucker, thank you for joining us.
Hi, how you doing?
So last night, as we were talking about earlier with coaches and stuff, the 35-0 shutout by Greenfield, not what you guys were hoping for as you went to enemy territory playing another conference game. But what did you see out of the game last night on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I felt pretty early on. We started a little slow, but we kind of tended to pick it back up. But it was just a little too late, kind of like last year. So, yeah.
And then, you primarily play the nose guard position, but last night you saw primarily all of your plays at tackle early on. Peyton Pollock went out with his injury. So you were kind of that next man up mentality and went in there and faced a new position that you don't play very often.
I was a little nervous at first, but I knew I had to step up because it was a big moment. So I couldn't fail my team. So I did the best I could out there for a position I didn't really rep out a lot this week of practice.
So Siddiqui Traor, one of the most dominant players on that defense, playing alongside of him, how do you think he performed in last night's game?
I think everybody knew that he kind of had a down game from what he's had the last few weeks against Newcastle and Anderson. But, I mean, he's not going to have a game like that every single week. I think he'll definitely bounce back this week and have a pretty good game.
And then just overall throughout that game, that dive, they're off. It's definitely a tough scheme to really read. You have a couple different options. So what was that like? I mean, you were playing the front lines against that. They could come inside. A lot of times they went outside. It was just very different.
When I had first gotten in, it was a little difficult to kind of see like where they were handing the ball off. So I had to adjust to that pretty quickly on, I realized. And after that, it kind of became easy. And pretty much I just, if I was at the defensive tackle, I was getting the second dive player. And if I was at nose, I'd get the first dive.
So then, this upcoming week, you guys see New Pal on your schedule. They're going to be a big physical team, in many ways similar to Greenfield, but in many other ways, they're going to be a lot different.
So what's it going to take to really explode off the ball and create that penetration to stop the run game and, for that matter, even the pass play as well?
I think a lot up front, being able to sit in our gaps and hit our targets, I think will help us a lot this week. And if we can do that, I think we can stop the run pretty effectively.
So, as you were saying about the run, Greenfield, the Wishbone offense is mostly difficult. But the passing game, the Arabians stopped it a lot. How do you think the cornerbacks in the secondary are really performed in that game?
I think they did a good job adjusting to it just because they've run the ball so much, and then to be able to just switch immediately to watching the pass, I think that's pretty impressive to be able to do, because last year I don't really remember if they passed the ball a whole lot, but the pass for them is a little better this year, but I think they did a good job stopping it.
And this New Pal offense, they're going to be definitely a two-way go. They can have their big running back who has already over 500 yards this season, but they also have some wideouts that are having fantastic years as well. So what's it really going to take to dial things in, to be able to cover the run? And then last night, players like Nolan Sauter really flying all over the place whenever they went to pass the ball.
I think Nolan can definitely do that again, because he's been doing that the last few weeks. He's been able to react to the ball pretty well. And I think that if we continue to do that, and the corners, it's just a lot of, they've got to read what's happening and then react. But I think the group of corners we have is good enough to do that. So, yeah.
So last night, a big loss, not what you were hoping for. But what type of momentum is that going to feed you guys to really want to grow and get better, as you're arguably going into the toughest part of your set or schedule starting last night to the rest of the season?
I think that loss is kind of a humbler to a sense, because I think it really gives the rest of the team a lot of motivation to go out there and fight even harder than they did this week, because I'd say at practice this week had a pretty good week, and then for last night to happen, that was kind of a demoralizer, but I think it's just going to make us better as a team overall and kind of bring us closer together for sure.
So New Pal and the Arabians have a long history together, big rivalry. How do you think that mentality going into next game will really show that we want to win this game?
I think it does play a part, of course, because rivalries always are good to watch and play in. I think it'll play a big part because I feel like we always can start well against New Pal. When I've been on the sidelines before watching it or in the stands watching it, I feel like we always start off well. But I don't know if something like happens at halftime, but it just feels like something just like isn't clicking the whole time. But I feel like if we play perfectly throughout the whole game, we can keep it pretty close.
And then starting next week, you'll be back at home for your next 2 weeks. So what's the difference in going into like a hostile environment like last night for Greenfield homecoming compared to playing in front of your home fans?
I think last night Greenfield, their stands were good. I could hear them, of course, because they were being loud. But I think being at home is going to help us a lot, because being on home field, of course, home field advantage and all of that, and you're just used to it, I think it could play a pretty decent role in the game.
Well, Tucker, thank you for joining us, but that's all we have for today. Hope you guys all enjoyed the show, and we will be back next week covering the game against New Pal on Friday, followed by the Coach's Show next Saturday. But for Ryan, first off, I'd like to say a thank you to Dawson Peril, our board out back in the station. Thank you for making sure we got over the air this morning. And for Ryan Davis, I'm Ian Stevens, signing off on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.